And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 23rd, 2021. So it turns out that on the North Shore of Boston, everyone knows where Boston is. North Shore of Boston is, of course, along the waterfront going north 10 to 20 miles. There's a little town called Peabody, beautiful little place. Within Peabody, over the last few years, there has been something of a stealth project by the electricity industry that wants to install what is called a gasoline-fired peaker plant. A peaker plant is a electrical generation facility that is turned on occasionally, but most of the times sits quiet. But when it does turn on, it demands natural gas. It becomes part of natural gas fossil fuel infrastructure for the next 20 or 30 years. Anyway, there's a company trying to put a peaker plant into the town of Peabody. We've got various podcasts we've already put up about it. But it turns out that there's growing concern among the people who live in Peabody, who recognize this or have lately all of a sudden said, oh my God, what is this? Because the company called MWEC, it's an acronym, Massachusetts Municipal Wholesale Electric Company, MWEC, it's a funky acronym. They've been trying to put this peaker plant in for a while, and all of a sudden it's gotten public profile that people don't like the idea. And so we are happy to be joined by Sudhi Smaller, who is a 36-year resident of Peabody and is one of the founders of an organization called Breathe Clean North Shore, which is concerned about the peaker plant on the north, the peaker plant in Peabody. Welcome, Sudhi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So I told a little story there. Maybe did I get the background right on the peaker plant in Peabody? How would you tell the story?
I would say it's like a ghost story because nobody knew about it for a long time. And I'm not saying that they didn't conduct business. They just didn't put business out there that this was the kind of plant that it is. Not only is it gas powered, but it has an oil backup. And that it'll be obsolete before we really even get there in terms of new legislation and having to come up with alternatives, and they didn't come up with any alternatives 6 years ago when they started this. And that was what got me interested, is it's too old. It's a different time now. 6 years ago, boy, I'm old enough to know how much happened in 6 years. And certainly there's something better than this that has been proposed. And I think the MWEC folks heard that when they paused the plant for 30 days, a very rare move.
Quick question. As you say 6 years, what we're saying is that MWEC first had the idea to build this plant and went so far as to get a proposal together to build this peaker plant in the year 2015, long, long time ago, and has been running silent since then. And so that's why you say they've got this proposal from that's 6 years old now, while the world has changed in the interim, right?
Exactly. And I saw that it's a six-year-old plan, and having an experience in journalism and being very interested in local news, the fact that I had heard nothing was alarming to me. And also, I just wanted to find out more. But unless you knew that you had to do a search for Project 2015A, you didn't get any information about this plan. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing at that time on the Peabody Municipal Light Plant site and even MWEC. MWEC has now since changed that. But I didn't know about it at all except for a Sierra Club email alert that started talking about these peaker plants and things that are happening, and there was Peabody. All I had heard about in the week prior was how wonderful we were doing with the solar project, which is 2020A. And I was thrilled about that. I couldn't believe this was the same place that we were doing solar, and then we were doing this dirty paper plant instead of a clean option. So I've been informing myself in this group that's come together several times. We decided that we wanted to participate in the DPU hearing, which was on May 10th. And some of us spoke, some of us wrote letters in, and many of us attended. And I was just floored by the quality of the testimony that was given by the various organizations, MCAN included, and their legal team, your legal team, that's wonderful, and the actions you've taken to try to slow this down, because that's basically where we came from, is we just need to take a deep breath, folks, and take another look. We're not saying you shouldn't do this. We're saying you shouldn't do it the way you're talking about.
And
we
just
can provide backup energy without oil.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that you referred to the DPU process, and it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is that this organization, MWEC, that we talked about, that wants to build this peaker plant, has asked for financial permission to borrow the money to build a peaker plant. It's like $170 million they want to borrow. And the DPU process is currently grant is a process, it's almost like a court hearing kind of thing in front of the DPU. We present evidence and the DPU gives MWEC the permission to borrow the money. And that's the process that is going on right now. And that's the meeting, one of the meetings that you were able to attend, right?
Correct. That was a hearing where they were considering the money, $170 million for 14 communities. And that I cannot underscore enough. It's not just Peabody. Mm-hmm. It's 14 communities who are investing for 20 to 30 years in this dirty peaker plan and maybe don't know about it. Their communities did a much better job of informing people about what's going on than Peabody did. Wakefield comes to mind immediately. They were at the forefront, and they are one of the participating communities who will have to pay for this. Marblehead stepped up. Danvers, which is right on the other side of the Waters River, stepped up. So this is a huge project that we should not, an old project that we should not be entering into any conversation about unless we put it in the lens of today and today's legislation. And in today's technology, we're thrilled to post about the Stirling Mass plant store energy in batteries. They're doing exactly what we're talking about, and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other people who contacted me who really want to explore other options, like hydrogen, like other things I know nothing about, but very interested. This is the right time. People, I think, I don't know about you, but I feel they feel differently about the environment now after the pandemic. That, you know, we only have one world and one life, and let's
do it, right.
That's
right. Sterling, Mass. You referred to Sterling, and it's my understanding that in Sterling they have what is called a battery storage system, which holds enough electricity to basically mimic this dirty gas plant. So they don't need to build a gas plant. And the idea, one of many, right? So right now, these MWEC guys are talking about old technology. They haven't defined a new technology. But one idea would be to have a clean, zero-emission battery on this site that then you don't need the gas to fire it all up. And it's better in sync with the future. But go ahead.
Well, I think that's where what our hope is. MWEC paused this project and said they want to talk about alternatives, but then held a public meeting that went immediately into executive session. And we've invited them to the public meeting that we're planning and to meet with them in a public setting to just talk, and we got a refusal. So, you know, this is all fast happening, and we're just trying to plod through. And we've made considerable progress. We have a website, breathecleannorthshore.org. We have a Facebook page. And we have a public meeting planned for March 25th. It's a Zoom meeting.
So you should, just to be clear, we will put up links and whatnot, but you're planning So this podcast will be posted on Sunday. Tuesday, the 26th of May, you'll be having a meeting that people can attend.
And I think it's the 25th.
I'm sorry, 25th. Yes, my bad, the 25th. And we'll put up the specifics. You've invited MWEC to attend, and whether or not they can make it, I don't know. I guess one question I wanted to pose to you, though, is in all of your readings, maybe what you heard in the DPU meeting the other day, I mean, what's the argument against building a gas-powered peaker plant in Peabody? I mean, there's all kinds of issues there, right? About environmental justice, stranded assets. Tell me that story.
I'm concerned about both of those, but stranded assets are all around that area. I went down and walked around that area.
And this is near the Waters River.
Near the Waters River,
where this thing is proposed to be built.
Next to an existing power plant owned by EMLP, 68 megawatts. Mm-hmm. Been there since, you know, like 1918 or whatever, and been upgraded. But that's why this new peaker is going to go in Peabody, is largely they have the space and they have the connections to the gas lines and everything they need. It's unclear, to me anyway, because there's been such lack of information about what the city is getting out of giving this land to new peaker plant. I'm not sure what that is. I know that Peabody is going to use the most of the energy, but more than any of the other 14 communities that this peaker plant might make. But we're also going to pay for like 30% of it, Peabody people. And that's much more than other communities. I think there's only one that is in double digits besides us. So the whole idea that we're going to build this plant, because this plant exists, because it's been reviewed, and our point right now is we want a comprehensive review. This is what we asked MWEC for, of what we have and what we're planning and what the alternatives are. And MCAN is announcing working with another group to help us do that, and I really thank you for that. So stranded assets, building this thing, and then within 10 years, say, they change the law about carbon burning facilities and they close it down. Yeah. We're still going to pay for it and it's still going to be there. And it's not going to be being used. Maybe the one next to it is not being used. So, you know, it's...
Tell me about the history of the... Waters River, that site in Peabody. I mean, my understanding is it's got a fair amount of industrialization already, and part of the issue is this sort of cumulative bad things that happen in certain neighborhoods, and now this peaker plant would just further contribute to that. Is that
exactly
something you agree with?
Oh, yes. I actually, when I walked the neighborhood the other day with the Marblehead 350 volunteers who were passing out flyers about our community meeting, I went to the bridge and looked around, and I walked around the plant and did a little research. Right down the street from the Pulaski plant, there was a EPA site of chromium stained leather stacked there for years and years. And that was cleaned up and moved away. But it was there for a long time.
I know that Peabody, they used to make shoes, right? Peabody, that area was an enormous manufacturer of shoes back at the turn of the century. That's where the chromium stain, I mean, so this hangover from 100 years ago is still sitting there, right?
We were the leather capital of the world in the mid-19th century. And when I say we, at that time, we were part of Danvers. Until 1855, we were Danvers, and then we became South Danvers, our own own place, and then eventually we changed our name to Peabody in the 1860s. So we were part of Salem Village Peabody, we were part of Danvers and the whole witch hysteria thing. People don't think of Peabody that way because they think of us as the leather capital of the world.
But I think it speaks to the idea that there are many towns that are right on top of each other, right? This goes, stuff goes back to colonial times, this sort of the political division, but the pollution doesn't respect the political divisions, right? I mean, you're on one, we talk about the Peabody plant, but that's just one side of the river. On the other side of the water, which rivers, is Danvers, right?
So it's Danvers with its own story of pollution and environmental abuse, not that they intended for it, but it happened. For instance, they had a Superfund site that they're just, I don't know if it's done now, but EPA was doing their final plans, closing up the old Crease and Cook tannery site, which had now had condominiums built on it when they started addressing the pollution. And they had to move the pollution, like 450 square feet of arsenic contaminated soil across near the Crane River in Danvers, where they buried it. But they still have issues of people are like, I bought this condo and now I can't sell it, you know, because they don't, I can't get a ruling on whether it's safe or not, per se. That might be some people's concerns. But interestingly enough, standing on that bridge and learning about this Creasy and Cook, closer to the bridge, literally a block away, was the explosion in 1998, I think, the Danvers fire and gas explosion, which damaged 90 homes, closed businesses, polluted the river for a short time where it had a purple sheen, maybe from the water from the firefighter hoses. Not sure. But boy, has this neighborhood.
Right. No, I mean, that all speaks to the historical, as you say, abuse. I mean, there's a lot of facilities in Peabody. In fact, there are communities that are living very close to these sort of, I mean, we talk about a 100-year-old leather plant, but that's a Superfund site. There are other existing functioning places there now that are not very happy, right? And now we're gonna add one more, this Peaker plant into this mix, one more burden for that community to carry, right?
I want to give credit to Representative Sally Karen, who's been attended some of our groups. I believe she'll be at the community meeting. She spoke at the DPU hearing along with the Wakefield folks, who were so impressive. And she is really concerned about Danvers because if you look at the map, more than half of it is close to Danvers, closer than the rest of Peabody. Peabody is not a small place. We're 17 square miles of compared to, say, Danvers. But in this area, before we leave that area of the explosion, right across the river on the Peabody side, there is also the New England Home for the Deaf, which I just recently learned it was affected in the explosion. It's that close. Its windows were boarded up. And it is no longer just a school for the deaf. It is housing for deaf people, blind people, and for elderly people who need continuous care. I haven't seen maps about where are all the nursing homes, but we have 19 nursing homes in Peabody.
Really?
We were severely impacted by COVID. We still have new cases and deaths. That the fact that we have 22-something percent elderly needs to be part of the conversation, too. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there are preschools and elderly facilities and where they are, and if they're in this half-mile radius that I'm concentrating on, it's something we need to explore. There's so much we need to explore.
No, I mean, I think that's an important point, is that this Peaker plant, which would, I mean, and just to put an edge on, if they built the gas-powered Peaker plant, it would, but almost by definition, be turned on the hottest August days when the weather is 1,000 degrees and everyone wants their air conditioning on. There's peak power demand. They turn on the Peaker plant to keep everyone's air conditioning running. And you got the kids in the school within a half mile radius breathing the pollution that's coming out of this compressor plant on the hot. I mean, it's like insult to injury, right, for the people who live near this plant in terms of the just the justice of
we have a high school right there in that half mile radius. We have a high school. I saw at least 8 or 9 child care facilities in that radius. The health issue is something we will be exploring more of, we hope, extensively at our meeting on Tuesday. Some of our members have health issues, and that's why they are involved. We are trying to get one of the very capable doctors who testified at the PU hearing to join us so that we can explore some of that. But these are the conversations that haven't happened. I mean, we haven't even talked about, we didn't build this peaker plant, people's rates aren't going to go up. Okay? It's the cost of the plant that we're funding now. That if we turned it around and became a leader in alternative backup systems, backup opportunities, what a thing for us to be able to do. This is not we don't need this to get our electricity. It's only in small areas that we need it. I don't want to invest for 30 years in something dirty for maybe 120 hours a year of running the plant. Although people don't realize every time you turn it off and turn it on, there's a lot of pollution that is created. So a peaker in general, because it goes and start and stop. And that's why Stirling is amazing. They figured out a way to not have to turn on the electricity at peak time. They found a way to store it and only call on it when they needed it. And I think Peabody can do that too. And Dan.
So tell me this, tell me more about the meeting that you have planned. How can people find out about the meeting? Can they attend it? Give me the, and I believe you have a Facebook page. You've been writing stuff. Tell me what I should be putting in the show notes. Put it that Thank way. What are the links?
The links are for our website, which is fairly static, but it will get grow. Is breathecleannorthshore.org. All the letters.
All one word.
And then the Facebook is Breathe Clean North Shore Facebook. The public meeting is a link to it is on both of those sites, and it's a leads to a form so you can register online so we can send you the Zoom link. I'm so thrilled that Community Action Works is involved because they're the ones who have been hosting the Zoom meetings for us to help us gather, and they're hosting this in terms of the virtualness of it and handling all those details, which I don't know how to do. So I am thrilled to have them in our corner. They've been wonderful, as has Logan. He's still working with me this weekend. So
just to make Community Action Works is a local grassroots organizing nonprofit here in the Boston area, and they have recognized the stakes in Peabody, right? And so you're getting that kind of assistance. So it's not, I mean, people listening should know that there's help, right? There's people that are concerned the Community Action Works is helping run the Zoom. There's a Zoom meeting, and it'll be, again, I don't get it's the 25th, you said, right?
Yes, at 6:30. It will have, we've invited elected officials. Mm-hmm. When I said before we invited MWIC, I just want to say we invited MWIC to a meeting that we would like to be public. Okay. I'm not sure if they got the invite for this Tuesday meeting or not.
Fair enough.
We did reach out to all the elected officials, and we reached out to our members to promote it. Mm-hmm. And it's open to anybody who would like to come. Definitely. I am going to co-MC with my good friend who I just met in person for the first time yesterday, Teddy. Theodora, and she and I will muster through. We'll make it work.
That's great. But so it's a great opportunity for people who are, you know, suddenly becoming aware something's going on. They want to learn more. This is a place to go, right? This is a good thing.
There's been a lot of press coverage here up to the point where the MWIC did the pause. There hasn't been so much now. So we're hoping that this meeting will generate some media. And then we're looking forward, you had mentioned earlier in our talk about June 16th and the importance of that date. So we're trying to come up with an event or events that might mark that final time frame that we have for this pause.
Now, is it the mid-June 15th or 16th is the end of this 30-day pause, this self-imposed 30-day pause that the MWEC organization has done. So on June...
It's a minimum 30-day pause. Yes,
right.
So we're marking that, but we're hoping not just 30 days.
Right. It's a longer pause in that, that's the next sort of official event on the calendar would be potentially something on June 15th. So there's preparation, and people who attend the meeting, your meeting next week, would want to hear about what are we doing to get ready for the mid-June meeting, right? Super.
We have some wonderful ideas.
I bet you do. I bet you do. Well, sweetie, we should put it down there. What I'll do is put up links on the MCAN. So what we do is put a blog up with this podcast in it and hot links. And so we'll put up links to your Facebook page, your website, etc. And that will be on at massclimateaction.org/blog. Okay, so that'll be there, and we'll put that around. If you have a question about the show or suggestions of topics that we should be talking about, send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. It will come through to us, and we'll consider all comments, good, bad, and new ideas of what we should be talking about. Of course, you can listen to this. You can listen
podcast@massclimateaction.net?
Massclimateaction.net.
Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, dear listener, you can hear this. You're probably listening to this show on your smartphone using a modern podcast distribution app. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their smartphones using their favorite modern podcast distribution apps. It's your climate action for the week to spread the word that there's things to be learned. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support that keeps our podcast up to date. We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next 10 years under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Sudhi, thank you so much for joining us. It's been very informative. Best of luck on your upcoming Zoom meeting.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the publicity. We need it.
Great. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.